Hey.
Alrighty. Back Judge Podcast. I'm with my fellas, Tommy and Lee on the line. Lee's just getting back from a big Viva Las Vegas vacation, home of the Raiders.
Big time. Big things happening in Vegas.
What's the sports betting scene like out there?
I was blown away, man. I'm definitely new to it, and it's you can almost tell that seriously that it's popped this year more so than any other year due to the fact that it's legal now. Because there are people at the sports books kind of like at all times, and especially when the games are on, it's hard to even find a seat. Everybody's there watching all the games, and definitely super excited about the fact that it's legal now. And it was just awesome. We're all high riders, riverboat gamblers here. We like to put some money on the line. We're parlay guys occasionally, so it was fun to get that experience, and I didn't lose too much.
We talk about them A's tonight, boy.
Clep, let everybody hear it. Let everybody hear the first baseball prophecy we got.
I'm saying 100 on the A's.
Slaying 100 down on the Oakland A's tonight. It's a Clep lock.
Indeed, we are locking it in, and we are going over a week four and week five of the NFL season. Any just preliminary thoughts before we get into some specific games about what happened in week four?
I guess I could start it off with my biggest headline of week four, off the top of my head, is the fact that the Atlanta Falcons, a team that I really liked before the season, all of us really liked before the season, Klepp not so much as Tommy and I, due to the fact that Tommy and I had him as the favorites in that division, have dropped their, I think, second game in a row at home last week to the Saints. This week, on the last second play against the Bengals to lose by 1 point. And the Falcons are 1-3 right now, 4 weeks through the year. And
Hey, oh,
a
I
lot of
didn't
it
know
seems
if
to be the big injuries on their
Sorry.
defense. But things aren't really working in Atlanta. And they got a big game in Pittsburgh this upcoming week that we'll get into. But definitely don't know if I'd be hitting the panic button too, super hard yet in Atlanta. But things are not looking great for the Falcons, a team that we really liked early on.
Yeah, safe to say that this upcoming game in Pittsburgh is just huge for both teams. But I think my quick takeaway would be here in the Windy City, Mitchell Trubisky having the best game of his career so far, and a perfect culmination of the Matt Nagy play calling and Trubisky playing well, and in a game that really I wasn't I picked the Bears, but it was kind of I was going to take the home team and take their defense and trust that it would kind of be a little bit of an ugly game. And the Bears just blew them out of the water, 48-10. So that's definitely an encouraging sign here in Chicago.
The Patriots also seem to be back. Like
Yes.
they never left.
Yeah, that's the hindsight pick of the week, was the Patriots only favored 7
Yeah.
at home to the hosting the Dolphins.
Got them on a parlay, Packers Patriots last week. Not a big deal, guys.
Tommy's a heavy, he's a heavy favorites type of guy.
Well,
Clef,
let's
how about
talk some
you?
specifics. I kind of wanted to talk about that Eagles Titans game
Yeah.
and how the Eagles they're 2-2 to start the year. They haven't looked enormously impressive really in any game that they've played so far. They struggled to beat the Colts 2 weeks ago, and this Titans team just keeps on grinding out tough wins. The Eagles had them at 4th and 13. In overtime, up 3, and they couldn't get it done. Vrabel played for the win. Late touchdown to Corey Davis. He kind of had a coming out party in this game, and he's getting a lot of national attention. So the Titans, after a really ugly loss week one in that 8-hour game at the Hard Rock in Miami, have come back to win 3 in a row.
Yeah, definitely ugly football, as you alluded to. And I mean, the Titans were a little bit of my darling this summer. And if you were to tell me that they would be 3-1. Tied for first in that division with the Jaguars before this year, I would definitely think it'd be solid defense and a prolific offense from them. But it's been the exact opposite. And Mariota's winning games without feeling in his hands, and they don't really have too much of a run game. So it's been a interesting year so far.
Anything to say about that, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things also have been going in the Titans' favor. I don't want to be the downer of the group, and they've been very impressive. I'd venture to say that the quarter poll way too early coach of the year finalists would be, you know, Vrabel and maybe Marvin Lewis or something like that. Because
throw Nagy in there too.
And Nagy. But you know, Vrabel will definitely be in the conversation. A guy who that team, like you guys have been saying, has been kind of winning ugly. And Vrabel's a defensive guy. He's a grinded out type of guy. He drafted a couple of young guys that are making an impact. They have a really good rotation of players defensively that are really stepping up. And they're doing a lot of good things this year. But again, I think as the season continues, it's all really going to come down to Mariota and his ability to deliver down the stretch, because I think a lot of things – they've won some close games and a lot of things are really going in their favor this year. They – I'll give them credit. The biggest credit they should have this year is holding the Jaguars to 6 points after – you know, Blake Bortles made it rain on the Patriots defense. So this Titans team is one that I don't think anyone was overlooking too hard before the season, but one we're definitely going to have to keep our eye on coming down the stretch.
Tommy, I know you wanted to talk about that Seahawks card game.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about – Josh Rosen really impressed me against the Seattle. He didn't have the most – he wouldn't have that impression maybe if you looked at – the stat line, but he made a lot of big time throws. He had a couple balls that were dropped, one for sure, a touchdown, a deep ball that was dropped. And he really stuck in there and really, I think the Cardinals had a great shot at winning that game. And it came down to the 300 pound kicker, Sebastian Janikowski, to put it through from 52 or something like that. But this Cardinals team, I can see getting better as Rosen starts to figure out the NFL game and maybe David Johnson gets going a little bit more, but they have a pretty good defense. Their defensive line is pretty good. Chandler Jones is one of the more underrated, you know, pass rushers.
The Cardinals do not look very good. How did they look good?
I think they should have won that game against Seattle.
You're just salty because you picked the Cardinals on. You picked the Cardinals and pick them, and they lost on a last second field goal. Yeah, how should they have won the game?
2 weeks in a row, I think they outplayed the competition.
But they can't close. They can't finish because they're not good.
Well, I think
they're 0-4 now. I think they're not good. They're going to get a top five pick probably.
Yeah, that very well could be true.
Because they're not good, right? Is that not all?
I mean, it's a very good league. I'm not going to say that the Cardinals are the second or third best team in this division, maybe, but I don't know. We'll see.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm feeling better about the Cardinals going forward. I think they're definitely going to get a win pretty soon, and I think they're going to have some momentum they're going to pick up. Jeez. Crucify me.
I just don't understand the Cardinals have not looked. They've looked like a bottom five team in the league. I don't understand.
So for the last 2 weeks, they outplayed Chicago. Sam Bradford had two picks and had that brutal fumble.
That's not outplayed, but they lost when it mattered. They didn't necessarily outplay Chicago. They scored, 10 or 17 points in that game, and they dropped an early lead. They didn't necessarily outplay Seattle. I don't understand. Seattle played just as well as they did, and they won it down the stretch. Arizona will win no more than four or five games this year. They won five at the
Arizona
Rainbows.
Arizona missed a lot of opportunities.
I'll be surprised if they – of course, but that's part of not being a good enough team to win games, enough games to be relevant, is missing opportunities. So I don't understand. I think it's just more because you were on the line for this team a little bit, saying that you were seeing them as a home upset in a divisional game.
Yeah.
And you were a little salty because Janikowski knocked it through from 52, and now you're feeling that 0-4. Seattle is at 2-2 or 1-3.
Clef, tell me you weren't sweating profusely when you were watching that game, knowing that I was going to come into the podcast hot on Wednesday.
No, the truth is out. The truth is out. Now we know why he was talking about the Cardinals. I knew it. You wanted that glory. You wanted that upset.
He was looking to go 2-for-2 with that Cowboys win in his pocket. Okay.
I'll see you in Seattle week 13.
What's it with Tommy and the Cardinals? He was giving me crap after I picked the Buccaneers. He was like, man, the Cardinals, they're a really good team, man. They got David Johnson. I don't know why you picked the – not saying that was even a great pick because they could outwin the Buccaneers this year, but Tommy's a big AZ guy. Maybe get Tommy a Rosen jersey.
I mean, I'm going to be out there this weekend, so I'll look for some merchandise at the local TJ Maxx maybe.
Oh, my God.
And you're going to come back early though, right?
Yep.
That's all we're going to say.
Yeah. But no one listens to this podcast, so they won't ever find out.
Don't play around. Don't play around with Clep when it comes to flying.
No.
Don't ever play around with Clep when it comes to flying.
You know, I got that kayak app in my pocket.
Oh my god.
Let's talk about. Let's just get the elephant out of the room. Lions Cowboys. Don't want to spend too much time on it. The Lions are just not a consistent football team. They can show you one thing one week, and the next week they'll show you absolutely nothing. I'm not expecting this team to, you know, make a playoff push or anything like that. It's the first year Patricia's, you know, 10 years as a coach. He deserves more than just four games for all of us to go out and crucify him. However, what I will not stand for on this team is players with clear talent not getting the ball, a.k.a. Kerryon Johnson. How is he being outtouched by –
he had 20 touches.
By Theo Riddick and LeGarrette Blount? It makes no sense.
I couldn't
– He ripped off a 30-yarder to start the game, and then he basically disappears for two quarters. I don't know what this team is trying to do with a committee with LeGarrette Blount, and he's 34 or whatever. And I understand he can get you a few power runs for 7 to 9 yards, but the other half of the time he just gets stuffed to the line of scrimmage for 2 yards because there's no runway when TJ Lang is out. So it just pisses me off.
Yeah, I think that I obviously don't want to speak on this too much. I came out of this game with some pretty strong opinions, and I've cooled off a little bit from, you know, the time the clock hit triple zeros, because I was really confident in Detroit winning this game. The Cowboys honestly didn't really show me that much. I thought it was a great win for them. And my big problem was the fact that Jerod Davis was playing one-on-one coverage on Ezekiel Elliott on the most important play of the game when the Cowboys' best receiver is Michael frigging Gallup. He's not even their best receiver because Ezekiel Elliott is their best receiver and their best player and the guy they want to get the ball to every play if they can. And we have Jerod Davis covering him 30 yards down the field. 10 times out of 10, Ezekiel Elliott's going to make a play on him. I don't care if it's catching the ball, a one-cut move, blocking him. I don't care. Ezekiel Elliott will make that play every time. I don't understand how that happened. I think, honestly, a hot take for this team is that Cooter needs to go because this, like you said, Clive, I think the whole running situation, if Kerryon's not getting the ball and if the running game is going to be the same as it was last year, then the whole offensive scheme isn't going to work. And this is a team that down the road is absolutely going to be consistent week to week, but I don't see them stringing together wins on offense. And, you know, they're competitive and they have a really good quarterback. And I think they're going trending in a somewhat positive direction, I guess. But week after week, it's like a new Pandora's box of things you're going to open and find out. And it's one time it's been really good. And the other three, it's been kind of borderline embarrassing. So not a lot of hope for the Lions.
Yeah, I can
playoff wise, I guess.
Yeah, I'm completely on board with you guys as far as the Lions go. I was expecting the Lions to win. I was not that confident that the Cowboys were going to come out of a win. And you know, the Lions were in this game for the whole time. Really, I saw that Kerryon Johnson only had 20 touches, and that just amazed me. Like the whole first half.
Yeah. As a Cowboys fan, how do you feel going forward for Dallas?
Well, I was just about to say, this was extremely encouraging, just mostly on the offensive side. I knew that this defense was good, Jeff Heath aside, but this defensive line is, dare I say, elite and played well against a good Lions offensive line, even though they did not have TJ Lang for the whole game. But DeMarcus Lawrence having 3 sacks, Ricky Wagner is a good tackle, and DeMarcus Lawrence won that matchup pretty well. So I think that this team's defense played really well without Sean Lee. These corners are playing well. Jadobia Awuzie is playing really well. It's just in terms of the offense, though, it was great to see Dak finally passed over 200 yards for the first time this year and for the first time the past, you know, 13 games or whatever the number was. And they really made a conscious effort to push the ball downfield. Tavon Austin missed that deep ball that very well he should have caught. But I just think that they're at least trying to switch up this offense a little bit more and not make it as vanilla and use the weapons that they have. So it definitely was encouraging, but it's what's going to happen next week, you know, against Houston on Sunday night. So it's the same thing after the Giants game. How are they going to ride this wave? And is this going to be the start of some things to come, or are they just going to go back to having an awful game on Sunday night?
I would like to – I'm kind of more interested, boys, in getting into these Week 5 previews, but I'd like to do a little fire round with some of the more notable scores from the rest of Week 4, if that's all right. Bengals-Falcons, obviously, was a big one. Bengals win 37-36 on a last-second A.J. Green touchdown. And Bengals are 3-1. right? If I'm not mistaken, after that Carolina loss. But they're still right up there with Baltimore, who beat the Steelers handily on the road in Heinz Field, which is something that doesn't really happen to the Steelers often. So that AFC North race is as tight as ever through 4 weeks.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. I probably would give the edge to Baltimore being the better team in this division, even though they lost to Cincinnati. But, man, Cincinnati just is continuing to impress me just from an offensive perspective. Their defense is playing well. You know, Jesse Bates is playing really well, coming in, replacing George Ioka. They obviously knew what they were doing there. And just the fact that this offense and Andy Dalton is really – they have a really good offense. Mixon's out right now. They have Gio Bernard in there, who has always been a solid running back. And the emergence of Tyler Boyd as their second receiver, he's just playing really well, man, and is finally starting to see that some of that potential that we saw from him at Pitt in college when he came out of the draft, second round pick a couple of years ago. So this offensive line is better, a lot better than it was last year, and they seem to be rolling on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a team that, Clep, we weren't in love with them before the season, but we definitely said they could be sleepers, said that we were kind of expecting at least a step forward from Marvin Lewis because they were giving him and Andy Dalton this extra chance here. And they've really done that, and they seem to be clicking. And even with how big of a Ravens advocate I've been, I would not bet on this division right now. I think the Bengals are more than capable of winning 11 games this year and winning this division. I think that they're kind of reminding me of how they looked a couple of years ago when they did win 11 games. And I think they came second in the division, but this is really looking every part of a playoff caliber team a quarter through the season, and it's way too early. So I'll slow my rope on the playoff talk altogether, but definitely really like what I'm seeing from the Bengals, and going to be kind of, you know, quietly pulling for Marvin Lewis to, you know, win a playoff game, just because I think he really is one of the guys. He's the longest tenured coach currently in the league, if I'm not mistaken. So him and Belichick, he's right up there, maybe second. So, really, I like seeing this from the Bengals, and hope they continue to succeed and impress and entertain.
And on Monday night, the Chiefs really took a stranglehold kind of on that AFC West, at least early on in the year. Mahomes kind of looks like the real deal, man. Big comeback win, touchdown drive, reminiscent of his first start in his career when it was Week 17. He led the Chiefs into field goal range for the game-winning score. This time he leads him all the way down the field for a touchdown to win the game. Huge. I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're the Chiefs front office, if you're Andy Reid, you feel like you are set up for the next 15 years of Chiefs, you know, football with this guy under center.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I think Mahomes is the real deal, and I think that's why you're not going to see the same Kansas City drop-off that we've seen in the past couple years with them starting out of the gates pretty hot. I just think this guy, he's a winner, he's a gamer, and he just has so much talent. And he's just a guy that you want with the ball in his hands, you know, in the last 2 minutes of the game. And he definitely showed that against Denver, against a super tough defense in a really intimidating place to play. So they definitely got to be them and the Patriots, I say, got to be the two favorites in the AFC East right now, or the AFC.
Yeah, and I don't have any bad things to say about him either. I mean, he's been – honestly, the most polarizing rookie player, or quote unquote rookie, having, you know, started for the first time this year, basically, that we've seen in, you know, a really long time. I think obviously, again, we're only 4 weeks through the season, so without trying to go too hard in one direction, I don't want to go too hard in the other and say start making playoff predictions for the Chiefs, but they really, 4 weeks through the season, them and the Rams look like the two best teams in the league right now, and Mahomes is a huge part of that. And I just want to say, in reference to the Monday night game, he won kind of in a way that he hasn't all year. He didn't air it out. His deep balls to Tyreek or you know, Sammy Watkins was injured. They weren't really succeeding vertically, so they had to kind of grind it out. And they were down 13-10 at halftime or whatever it was, and then they were down 10 points late, and he did everything he needed to do to put them in great position to win the game, to score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter when it really mattered. And I was floored by it. I was super impressed. The Denver pass rush was getting to Mahomes, but he was seemingly escaping every time. It's like I'm waiting to see him get sacked. It's watching him and Eli Manning is like watching like one the top of the ladder and the bottom of the ladder in terms of evading any type of pressure whatsoever. So honestly, at this point, I got to kind of just call a loss a loss. I was wrong about his gunslinger mentality. I think as the season goes on, he'll definitely throw a couple picks and have a couple, you know, questionable plays. But this guy is a gamer and a baller, and it's really hard to not call him a star at this point.
Yeah, and just one more thing I wanted to add, too, is they're doing it again with their run game again. I mean, Kareem Hunt is still, I mean, probably one of the more underrated runners, even after leading the league in rushing last year. And something that also kind of popped out to me, I think this might be one of the most underrated offensive lines in the NFL. They really win at the point of attack. So I don't know. It was just something that I took away, and this team just, you know, defense aside, just looks great on offense.
Let's get into some of these Week 5 matchups. The one that is most intriguing to me is Falcons at Steelers. And I'm going to say this right now. This is, will be a little prophecy. The loser of this Falcons-Steelers game does not make the playoffs.
I completely agree with that.
I like that.
Without a doubt. I was texting Tommy and another friend of ours, Big Hut, in our group, and we were talking about this game, and I was saying that this was literally – this is a must-win game for both these teams. I know we say that a lot, but – like you said, Clep, I'm totally with you. The Steelers are coming off a bad divisional home loss to the Ravens. The Falcons are coming off two straight home losses in games where they were in it or ahead in the fourth quarter, exactly, and their defense has completely floundered. Two teams that similarly have been kind of putting up points, but their secondary hasn't been able to cover too much and have been defensively inconsistent and just desperate for a W at this point. So I would agree with you that this is the headliner game in terms of a must-win right now in the NFL, and two teams that a lot of people had high hopes for going into this 2018 campaign.
And if, dare I say it, I'm going to pick the Falcons in this one. Road, a nice little road win for the Dirty Birds.
Listen, I'm absolutely with that.
Yeah, I'm with you too as well. They're 3-point dogs right now. I think that's a must-take bet.
The only thing is that Pittsburgh lost at home last week, and they're not the type of team to lay over and against anybody for two consecutive home losses. Well, I don't care what time they're at.
I mean, I think these teams kind of have similar strengths and weaknesses. Obviously, they have prolific offenses and defenses that have lost them some games. But I just like the Falcons more. I think Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. I like what I'm seeing out of Atlanta's offense. And I think their defense should step up for them. So I'm expecting the Falcons.
Don't want to speak too soon here, but this may be the second consecutive year that the Back Judge podcast has singled out some organizational hubris and gotten to the bottom of it.
It has. It's a pretty nice streak.
It is a nice little streak there. But yeah, no, I'll definitely be pulling for the Falcons. I think they're a better team, honestly, and I believe in them way more than Pittsburgh. So definitely going to go with them. We're all on the Dirty Birds.
Another game headliner is this Jags-Chiefs matchup, which is really intriguing. If just because seeing this Andy Reid-led offense go up against this Jaguars defense that is so respected around the league, it's going to be really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be great to watch. And I think it might kind of just come down to that Jags D-line versus the Chiefs offensive line. I think that's a matchup that I'm really going to be looking forward to and might shut me up with my little the Chiefs might be the most underrated offensive line in the NFL because this Jaguars D-line is going to be coming at you hard for four quarters with just so much talent. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I still think I like the Chiefs, though, to be honest, at home in Arrowhead.
Yeah, I probably as expected by you guys. I really like the Jags in this position. I think that although it's in Arrowhead, the Chiefs have gotten some great breaks recently, and they really slowed down against the hardest defense they've played all year in Denver. Definitely down the stretch when it mattered, performed. But this Jacksonville defense is another step in above that Denver defense. And Jalen Ramsey is the best secondary player in the league. And I don't think they're going to be throwing bombs on this defense. And as long as Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville offense can run the football and move the ball effectively, I think they should be able to take care of the Chiefs and kind of bring the Chiefs back down to earth. Because let me tell you right now, if the Chiefs huck the ball around and Mahomes has another stud game and they go 5-0, even at home against Jacksonville, I think it'd be pretty hard to not cement them as probably the best team in the NFL right now. Pretty objectively, maybe arguing the Rams, but at least in the AFC.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm going to kind of go with Tommy here, take the Chiefs at Arrowhead. I mean, they've played one home game through the first quarter of the year. They'll be right back in the friendly confines of Arrowhead. And I think that they'll pull off a W here. The next game I kind of wanted to bring up, too, was this Vikings-Eagles matchup, the NFC Championship rematch. Two teams who are floundering a little bit right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is, just like you said, these are two teams that both need a win. I just think the Vikings needed a little bit more. They almost won against the Rams on Thursday night in L.A., and I think there's definitely going to be some retribution on Sir for what happened in the NFC Championship and how bad they looked. Obviously, they have Kirk Cousins now. And I really, when is this Vikings team going to get their run game going? They still kind of have basically the same group on up front in their offensive line as last year, but they haven't been able to establish a run, and their offensive line has kind of looked like the weakest part of their team. So they're going to be going up against a really tough Eagles front seven. But I still kind of like the Vikings to come out in this game. And I expect a bounce back game from their defense against Carson Wentz and this Eagles offense.
Yeah, I'm with Tommy. Honestly, I think this is – I've been utterly unimpressed by Philadelphia with or without Carson Wentz this year. I think that they've definitely kind of got a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover and taken a step down from the incredible momentum they were building last year on that run. Minnesota just – lost a brutal game last Thursday on. They're coming off a long week. They may be on the road, but this Minnesota team is just simply too skilled on both sides of the ball to be underperforming the way they have this far in the season. And I'm kind of just riding with them as a road dog in this one. Philly coming off a really tough loss to Tennessee. Definitely going to be a dog fight. And I think Philly's a good team, but kind of leads me to my opinion that this NFC East is absolutely wide open through 4 weeks. Didn't really have much belief in the Cowboys before the year. Had way more belief in the Giants. And I kind of feel the same about the Redskins that I do now. But I think the Giants are kind of out of the question at this point with Eli Manning performing the way he has. But between the Cowboys, Redskins, and Eagles, I really think that I would probably rank the Cowboys third, but one of these teams can, even the Cowboys, can really go on a roll and stand out in this division and I think end up winning it, because I think Philly's kind of having a bit of a lax Super Bowl hangover here. So I'm going to the Vikings.
Any other games that you boys want to bring up here?
Well, I kind of wanted to hit that Colts-Patriots game. I mean, obviously, I think we all probably think the Patriots are going to win, but I really want to see how Frank Reich attacks this Patriots defense. And I mean, the Patriots are 10-point favorites right now, but I kind of see this game being a lot closer than Vegas.
I don't know. I'd probably take the Patriots with the points. They're at home, short week. Colts are coming off a bad loss to Houston the week before. Yeah. I mean, there could be a little bit of Josh McDaniels' revenge game, but I feel like that hatred or resentment rests more in the front office than with the players.
Yeah.
I think the Pats will win this one handily.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Clap. I don't have the balls to bet against the Patriots on the spread, especially on a Thursday night game in Foxborough against a team that's 1-3. So I would kind of defer there. I don't know if I'd really put any money on that game. A game that I'm really eyeballing, at least betting wise, is the Denver Broncos are visiting the New York Jets in the Meadowlands, and the Jets are a 1-point favorite. It's kind of a pick 'em game. I believe in the Broncos still. They really showed me something on Monday night at home until the end of the fourth quarter. And I still believe in this team as a team that is going to win the game. They're supposed to win and end around 7-9 to maybe 9-7, depending on how many of those very games they win. I think this is a great position for them to bounce back and stay relevant in their division and in the AFC. Against a Jets team that is really kind of at a sell point right now. A lot of questions about Bowles' job security up in the air, and Darnold's looked more and more like the 21-year-old product that he is than the superstar that's winning games in Ford Field week one. So I like the Denver Broncos on the road getting a point in this position, but looking at my sheet now, I like road teams way too much this week. So expect at least one of my picks to be wrong, but I like the Broncos a lot. Going into the Meadowlands for betting purposes.
Yeah, I think I probably will go with the Broncos too, but I will say that I was impressed by some of the plays that Darnold was able to make against the Jaguars. Obviously, when you look at his stat sheet, he didn't have an unbelievable game, but he managed to not turn the ball over and had some nice throws under pressure when he was getting hit by that Jags defensive line, you know, with that porous offensive line in front of him. So it's going to be another big test for Sam, and I probably will take the Broncos just because I just think they have a better team, to be honest. But it's going to be definitely an interesting game to check out.
And then there's a NFC West matchup happening out in Seattle.
Let's not even bring it up.
If my prediction of the Seahawks coming in and winning this NFC West in 2018 has any hope, I need a win here, baby.
That you do. And this
I'm telling you right now, I'm tempted to make this my my risky survivor pick of the week.
Wow.
But I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
I think that's a little more risky than survivor, to be honest, Adam.
Well, it's in the name. We're 0-1 right now. It was a close
one.
It was a close one in Denver.
I'm taking the Rams here, man. I just think they're way too much of a machine. The Seahawks really have not done anything to really surprise me. I think they can beat teams that they're better than, but when they have this lopsided of a matchup, I think they're going to have a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I've really been on the away bandwagon this week tempts me in the Seahawks direction, but like objectively looking at this game as much as I can, I think the Rams are going to win by like 20, honestly. Like, I think that the Rams are kind of just going to beat the crap out of them because They lost Earl Thomas. The Rams are another team coming off a long week. We just saw what they did to Minnesota's defense. I don't think Seattle's nearly as scary to play in as it used to be. I think the Seahawks are another team that's kind of trending in the wrong direction. I think this division is really the Rams and then the three other guys. Not to give Tommy's Cardinals any more credit than they deserve, but I think the Rams are the boy kings of this division, if you will. And I would love to go with you here, Clep, but I'm going with the Rams.
I'm not even going with me. I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave you. You kind of sparked something that I wanted to say earlier, and kind of forgot about it.
Yes.
This was.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I don't know if you do. I don't know. Let me know what you thought I was going to say. But I kind of wanted to speak to how in today's NFL and teams like the Vikings who spend a lot of money and resources on their defense and have hired a defensive head coach. I don't think that's the way you should do it anymore because you saw what happens when a great offense goes up against a great defense. Like, you know, we saw with the Rams and the Vikings, and it just didn't work out for them. And I think we might even see the same thing with the Chiefs and the Jags. Jags have bought a bunch of defensive players. Their offense isn't that great. And there's still a chance that the Chiefs and Andy Reid could hang 40 on them. And I don't understand what kind of philosophy you're going for in today's NFL if that's the way that you're going to build your teams. So
I definitely didn't think – I thought it was going to be more directed towards Goff. But I definitely agree with that for the most part. But I would disagree that the Vikings' defense has really looked shaky this year and not nearly as good as anyone really thought it would be, to whereas – I would actually be really surprised if the Chiefs put up 40 points on the Jaguars, even at home this week, just because I think the Jaguars defense is
best in the NFL.
Is the best in the NFL and not as I don't know, the Vikings kind of I don't know what necessarily it has been, but since Buffalo hung 27 up on them at home, that Thursday night they let the Rams score what 48 or 42 on them or whatever it is.
I think it was 38. Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to say that their defense is really as well coached or as effective as we all thought it would be.
Yeah, but that kind of just goes to my point because defense can be really inconsistent. Even though you have the same pieces, like year to year, things just fall off.
If I may, though, I will say that if you look at the Seahawks teams that won the Super Bowl, obviously they had a young Russell Wilson who was a very good quarterback, but that was built on the back of their defense. When Denver won the Super Bowl, they made it with Brock Osweiler and Peyton Manning all on the back of their defense.
Yeah, but it's not consistent. It doesn't build dynasties. You might be able to get it once, but both of those teams, the Seahawks and the Broncos, are now just kind of floating around.
Yeah, but they have rings, and the Chiefs and the Rams don't yet. And if the
that's
Rams
fine,
the
they're
Chiefs
young, baby.
On, you know,
well, I think they would have to be the next dynasties for your – I mean,
it doesn't have to be a dynasty, though. It can just be like something like, you know, you have Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and they have two, you know, because they've had that consistency.
But their defense kind of was – they kind of were built with their defense.
In those Super Bowl years,
their defense was somewhat fair.
Solid. Paul Amalu, James Harrison. And I would, and also with the Eagles last year, man. I mean, Foles had a really good Super Bowl, but
that defensive rotation,
that the defense was great, and Foles did not play that well against the Falcons. And I mean, he did play well against the Falcons, and then against Minnesota. I just think that defense kind of sets the tone for the team, and I think it's easier to build a defense than it is to build like a juggernaut offense in the NFL.
And you guys bring good counterpoints.
I love your point, Clive. I really think that I completely agree that it's an offensive-oriented league, and at the end of the day, if you can put up a bunch of points on someone, you're going to win 12 games doing it, and at the very least.
But I will say also, with the, using the Chiefs and Rams as examples, they both have offensive, whizzes as head coaches, and it kind of starts with that. And obviously, I think we're all ready to admit that Jared Goff is better than we made him out to be, but I mean,
still might not have them playoff stones, though.
We'll see.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Can I get a quick opinion on what you guys think of this Cowboys Texans game?
The Cowboys.
You think the Cowboys?
Yep.
I'm taking Houston.
Wow.
The Cowboys are 3-point dogs. So
I would take. The Cowboys. I still don't like the Texans very much. I think the Cowboys crowd will travel well, so I'm not going to take into account that much that Houston's at home. I think they were pretty strong against the Lions, and they'll take some momentum from that game into this one. Obviously, the Texans front seven is a whole different animal than the Lions were. J.J. Watt, I think that's kind of an underrated storyline. He's just on a floundering team, but he looks almost as good as he's ever been through 4 weeks of the year. Obviously, he's somewhat of an injury time bomb, but currently he seems defensive player of the year material. But I saw something today that Deshaun Watson's on pace to get sacked 68 times this year.
Yeah.
Cowboys actually have a decent pass rush going, and I don't.
Decent.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
You don't say it's a top 10 pass rush?
They have DeMarcus.
It's all Tommy wants to hear is the top 10 label.
Yeah, I think it's
a bona fide top 10 pass rush, but that's maybe for a different pot.
I need to look into a little bit more. I don't think that's an outlandish thing to say, but
I'm not. I don't know.
We'll give them a couple more.
Dallas beat the Lions at home, dude.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
That's also fair.
Going to Reliant. The Houston's coming off their first win of the year in an emotional roller coaster of a game. Bill O'Brien's underwhelming this year. Deshaun Watson's underwhelming this year. This whole team is underwhelming this year. And in order for them to really kick their season into another gear, they have to win this game at home. Not saying that Dallas has to win it any less, but I'm sticking with the home boys on this one in prime time, and I'm looking for a big game out of Deshaun Watson, and honestly, out of that Texans defense, and for them to win a close one. I would not bet on this game.
One more rapid fire. Cardinals 49ers. Are the Cardinals going to get that first win?
No.
49ers win by 10+.
Chandler Jones.
Tommy, I dare you to make this your survivor, risky survivor of the week.
I will. I will make that.
Yeah, there's no risk on it, though. That's the only part.
Hey, listen, this 49ers team is still good. CJ Beathard obviously played a good amount last year. Him and Kittle got a great connection, and Kyle Shanahan is an elite play caller. But I think this is the Cardinals' time to get a win up in Santa Clara. Rosen's going back home state, not home area, but home state. We're going to see.
I'm going to make my risky survivor pick of the week. Them Skins, Monday night, another Monday night upset pick. Going into NOLA, getting that dub off the bye week.
In New Orleans.
Yep.
Going against your boys.
That's okay. The Falcons lost, so they can recover easily.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true, yeah. I like the risk there, Klepp. My risky survival pick of the week. I'm going to go ahead, and this is going to be funny, but I'm going to go ahead and pick the New York football Giants.
Oh, baby.
Clean it up. They're catching 7 in Carolina. Forget the spread. Take them boys on the money line. I'm trying to see Eli Manning in this offense do something here, put up more than 24 points and win this game. Let's go with the G-men here. Since Tommy's taking the Cardinals, there's no risk. And I'm going with the Giants. I like it. Lock it in.
And then before we sign off here, what's the score for this Lions Packers game? What are we thinking?
Wow, man, I'm gonna go. I'm going to go with the Packers win, but it's going to be a tight one. And I'm going to go 24-21. Packers win.
Ooh. I'm going 26-31 Packers.
Yeah, Packers are going to win probably 29-19.
Yeah.
Raider misses an extra point or something.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
I don't know. It's draft season. Lions are in line for that second overall pick. Ed Oliver, come on down, homie.
Ed Oliver. Patricia will use him well.
Chargers also hosting the Raiders this week. Chargers really disappointing win last week against the listless 49ers. The Chargers just looking more and more like a team that could go 8-8 this year every week. Kind of. I would not be surprised. I definitely will pick them to beat the Raiders, but if the Raiders came in and won this game somehow, I wouldn't even really be that surprised. I just think this Chargers team doesn't really know how to win consistently yet, and I think that some big changes might be coming in L.A. soon.
And then one last thing before we sign off here. I played the Mega Millions yesterday. Jackpot in Illinois is up to $367 million. I did not win. But I've done some Googling. I don't think anyone else won either, so it'll keep going up. Once I win, big studio, Backjudge Studio coming in.
We're gonna buy Fox Sports, and we're gonna have a public execution of Colin Cowherd, and that's how we're gonna open up our show. Also, how about the NHL season starting today, baby? It's the Sharks' year. Let's go.
Well, how are my Stars looking?
What's that?
How are my Stars looking?
Your Stars they need to make the playoffs this year, man.
I'd like to see it.
Underwhelming. They just gave Sagan $90 million, so let's see what happens.
Oh, those NHL guys are making some money now, eh?
Oh yeah, man.
Lee, what about the Rangers? Resident Rangers. I'm
not expecting good things from the Rangers this year. We got Hank, so we always got a chance, but I don't think that the goal scoring is there, and I think it's going to take a minute for the new coach to, who I like, by the way, to get his ducks in a row.
I will say, I think Hank will be traded this year. I think the Rangers should. We're kind of getting a little off topic right now, but that's my prophecy for the. Also, let's pencil in Klepp. Get on the website and let's pencil in that Trevor Lawrence number one pick in 2021 prophecy that I have.
Okay. Right,
Jesus.
That's the most cornball prophecy of all time. You should freaking get smacked for that.
So Klepp can have his Josh Allen number one pick, and I can't.
Josh Allen was a junior when he made it. Trevor Lawrence has started one game. He's freaking 18 years old. He's not eligible for the draft in another 2 years.
I can't wait to use this as a soundbite in 3 years. This is going to be our soundbite.
Yeah, dude, you're probably
going
to be right. He's the number one quarterback in the world for his age.
He's
probably
a stud.
Going to be the number one pick. Everybody knows he's a stud. You're not telling people things they don't know. It's a stupid prophecy. I will abolish it from the website if it ever gets made.
Boys, it's always a pleasure to talk some football with you and occasionally some hockey.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Q stay scheming.
Stay scheming. Last thing, when's Crehan getting in that damn storage closet?
Monday.
Monday?
Monday.
Oh, man, we might have to go down and watch the Monday night game. Maybe.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Hell yeah.
What's your schedule on Monday? I'll call you back, all right?
I might have hockey, so it actually will work out.
Yeah, I will. I'll call you back.